Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi First Half 2022 Consolidated Results presented by the Vice President Fabio De'Longhi and the CEO Massimo Garavaglia. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to the Vice President, Mr. Fabio De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group Quarter 2 22 Full Year Results Conference Call. Today with me are also Massimo Garavaglia, our CEO, Marco Cenci, Chief Strategy and Control Officer, Stefano Biella, CFO, Fabrizio Micheli, Director of M&A and Investor Relations, and Samuele Chiodetto, Investor Relator. First of all, I would like to hand the floor over to Massimo for a farewell message.
Thank you, Fabio. Thank you very much. It was an honor for me to work for this great group in the last 2 years. I take the opportunity to thank the De'Longhi family, the board, and the entire management team for the support and trust shown from the very start. Moreover, let me express my sincere gratitude to all the employees of the group around the world whose professionalism and dedication in such difficult time were a great motivation for me. I leave this group with the belief that the strong focus on the strategic pillars and its unique competitive strengths are the main guarantee of a sustainable long-term growth. I finally take the opportunity to sincerely thank all of you, all the analysts and investors I've been dealing with in the past few years. And now I give back the word to Fabio.
Massimo, thanks. Thank you for your hard work, dedication, and leadership over the past years, and I wish you all the best. And now we start commenting the half one results. The first half of 2022 ended with revenues substantially in line with the record levels reached last year, despite the signs of softening demand in Europe that emerged in the second phase of the semester. Specifically, the weakness witnessed in the second quarter is attributable to various elements. Firstly, a challenging comparison versus last year that recorded an extraordinary expansion in turnover of 46% in the first half and 36% in the quarter on a like-for-like basis. Secondly, a complex and dramatic geopolitical situation, which inevitably has been worsening the consumer confidence. Lastly, the adverse inflationary pressures, which have been eroding the disposable income of consumers and affecting the purchase choices. This scenario has deteriorated the demand for goods in the European region, while the main extra-European areas, the group has been able to maintain a positive trend, thanks to expansion of the markets and the development of the coffee business. As to profitability, the quarter's margin were eroded by some specific and, in our opinion, transitory effects. First of all, the significant increase of inventory levels required a slowdown in production activity and higher logistics and warehousing costs, influencing the profile of margins in the quarter. The reduction of stock already planned for the next 6 to 9 months should lower significantly the negative impact of these extraordinary effects. Secondly, the cost inflation not fully offset by price increases. We stick to our strategy to maintain a pricing discipline even more rigorously, even though we are facing a tough environment in the distribution channels. Lastly, the spending on A&P have been increased to the continuation of the global campaign launched in autumn last year, starring Brad Pitt as an ambassador that has been having a phenomenal impact, with the aim to strengthen the group's leadership and authority in the espresso markets, taking advantage of the strong momentum in the coffee segment. Consolidated revenues for the first 6 months of 2022 were up by 0.9%, with a positive contribution of plus 3.8% from the currency component. In the second quarter, the revenues fell 5.8%, with a positive contribution from the currency equal to 4.9%. The broad geographical diversification of the group was able to mitigate a weak performance in the European area, thanks to the growth achieved on the extra-European geographies. Southwestern Europe recorded a minus 14% in sales in quarter two, bringing the half one trend in negative territory. In particular, we point out a marked weakness in some of the core markets, such as Germany, France, Austria, and Switzerland, which in recent years benefited from the favorable context of on consumption, while the Iberian region continued to grow. The negative trend continued in Northern Eastern Europe, due mainly to the direct and indirect effects of the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, with the exception of Poland, which grew double-digit in the quarter. The EMEA region resulted overall in negative territory in quarter two, only partially mitigated by the appreciation of the US dollar. The America area delivered a sustained growth in half one, maintaining a positive trend in quarter two, thanks to an expansion in the coffee and comfort categories. Finally, APA maintained a strong pace in growth, as highlighted in the first part of the year, led by almost all the main countries in the region: Australia, New Zealand, Great China, and South Korea, and a significant contribution of currencies. As the evolution of product categories, the first half highlighted a significant weakness in the food preparation sector, offset by the coffee business resilience. Specifically, the sector of coffee machines for households that grew in the half year slowed down in the quarter, attenuated by a strong trend of expansion of manual machines, supported by recent launches relating to the expansion of the Specialista range. The food preparation sector confirmed the difficulty in comparing with the extraordinary growth rates obtained in the first half of last year. This weakness is more pronounced in the core categories of Kenzo kitchen machines and Brown's hand blenders, while some minor categories such as deep fryers, spin juicers, and toasters remain in positive territory in the quarter. The contribution of the comfort category, portable air conditioning and heating, remained positive in the half, although the second quarter was disadvantaged by an early air conditioner sales season, which took place in the first months of the half year. Home care, house cleaning and ironing, was in the positive territory in both periods under analysis, thanks to the recovery of ironing in the last months of the semester. Finally, the contribution of the professional coffee machine sector, represented by the newly acquired Eversys, which showed a very strong growth trend, was largely positive. Looking now at the evolution of the operating margin in the second quarter, the net industrial margin stood at 48.2% of revenues, compared to 50.4% last year, due to increase of the cost inflation, not totally offset by the price mix component and the lack of production efficiencies because of lower production levels in quarter two. Adjusted EBITDA amounted to 149.1 million euro, equal to 10.3% of revenues, compared to 17.6% in 2021 and 12.5% in 2020. The reduction of margin was mainly attributable to higher investments in communications and media, which increased from 12.8% to 10.5% of the previous year. The effect of the increases in product cost, raw materials, freight, transformation cost, not fully offset by the price mix component. Larger costs, among them production inefficiencies and warehousing and logistics costs due to the high level of stock. As to the balance sheet, net financial position at the end of June stood at 55.4 million euro, decreasing from 2021 and due to higher investment versus last year and the significant increase of the inventory level. In the half one, the free cash flow before dividend M&A stood at -245 million euro, mainly due to the higher level of inventories reached, +172.3 million euro in the 6 months. Larger CapEx, the figure in half one amounted to 94.1 million, +33.5 million euro versus last year, including the 21 million euro acquisition of a new plant in Romania. Conclusion and guidance. We are living in a time of increasing complexities coming from many fronts, such as rising costs, the supply chain, the distribution channels, the consumer demands, with negative effects that in most cases might prove to be temporary. In this period, the group has been showing to have competencies and assets to overcome difficulties, and this is a strong competitive edge. In the meantime, the group strategy has to maintain a strong focus on a sustainable development of the business in the long run, leveraging the communication investment and international expansion outside Europe, and working on the production cost control. These medium-term strategic lines will enable us to support our leadership positions, especially in the coffee, strengthening the presence of our brands in the markets and aiming and fostering our global expansion. As to this 2022, we expect a persistent weakness of the markets and demand in the second half of the year, and we therefore expect to be able to close this year with revenues down mid-single digit and an adjusted EBITDA in the range of 320-340 million euros. Now we can open the floor to Q&A. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, you may please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from the line of Niccolò Storer from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. I have two questions. So one is related to revenues and the other one to cost. So on revenues, your guidance basically implies a continuation in Q3 and Q4 of the trend seen in Q2. Don't you expect a worsening of the picture also in areas that so far have held better than Europe? So this is the first question. The second question is related to cost. In particular, I wanted to understand how much of the impact from higher AMP, cost inflation, and warehousing cost is coming from warehousing cost, and what should we expect in the second part of the year, specifically on warehousing cost. And related to that, also, if you confirm your commitment on keeping the AMP on sales 1 percentage point higher compared to previous years. And so if this if the guidance includes this assumption. Thank you.
Your comments on revenues, I would agree. We expect the remainder of the year to be fairly in line with what we are witnessing here in quarter two that we are just reading. And it's not impossible that we have some surprises here and there, but at the same time, I think that we are facing also an easier comparison in the second half versus last year. We're getting good signs in coffee, which is the vast majority of our sales. And I still believe that the weakness we're facing as we speak in quarter two, I think is not just due to the lack of consumer confidence. I think it's in the summer. People are now enjoying holidays. We believe that this, say, post-COVID effect, once that people will get back home after summer, will potentially have also some upside. But in the end, we think that we can confirm the trends that we are seeing today. We think that China is still showing good signs, and the market of coffee machines is growing very rapidly for us. So that's definitely a positive that we are also counting on in our guidance. With regards to the cost, I probably can hand over the answer to Marco Cenci, but just to introduce the concept, I mean, we have very high warehousing costs. We have already suffered about 50% of the impact that we expect for the full year in the first 6 months. We expect total extraordinary costs related to warehousing around €25 million on top of last year.
Now, we confirm, as in the past, we said the famous €100 million versus last year of raw material and other costs. On that, we have to add, due to the high level of stock, some inefficiency in warehousing due to the fact that we have to rent space and to have some other costs that, as Fabio said, probably we will take around €20-25 million full year, and partially 50% of that is already in the first half. And also due to the fact that we are reducing the production and we are, let me say, stopping the production in our factory, there we will face, we are facing part of the not absorbed fixed cost for this year. That kind of cost could amount around €30-35 million full year. Also that partially included in the first half.
So the combined effect of the extra warehousing costs and factory inefficiencies for the year will be around €60 million.
Now, we can say that as soon as the stock will come back at the normal level, this kind of cost will disappear.
By the way, with regard to A&P, we've done. We believe that the decisions taken in the past years to accelerate our growth through extra investments in advertising has been very successful. We've been able to increase our market shares and also had a positive impact in our product mix. So we continue with our plan, rolling out the plan, and we will probably increase this year A&P of approximately 1% as was already announced. But this is resulting from some shuffles in where our monies are allocated, and we are now reducing our investment behind our food preparation and kitchen products because we believe in this space there is a little upside if we increase advertising. For the moment, the consumers are very reluctant to to buy these products. And on the contrary, we are confirming our investments behind coffee, where we are getting good results and we maintain a positive stand despite the difficulty and despite the incredible volume jump that we have witnessed in the past 2 years. So we are confirming the plans, and also we are leaving some room for some promotional initiatives at key times of the fall to support our sales, not only with the advertising campaign, but also with effective promotional initiatives behind our core items.
Okay, thank you. Just a brief follow-up, considering that you mentioned it. Is the idea to compensate inflation on cost with price mix of the 100 million still valid?
Yes, this is our ambition. Although we have to say that, honestly, we see some potential risks. And the risks are also coming from the fact that we want to accelerate our inventory reduction. Therefore, it's not impossible that saying that we have about 100 million of headwinds in extraordinary costs that were already announced to the market, we were thinking to totally offset them. Now we are now a bit more cautious. We will be very disciplined in the price increase, but we might have some initiatives that are more aimed to the slow-moving stock reduction, which can result on a worsening of our price increase strategies or around 20 million euros. So instead of passing on the 100, maybe we'll be around 80. Due to the current situation. So we have reassessed, keeping this in mind.
Perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Isacco Brambilla from Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple. The first one is on the consumers' environment. We are reading about many concerns on erosion of purchasing power for families, especially in Europe. From your understanding of the industry, is this situation expected to peak in terms of headwinds in the second half of 2022, or in your opinion, this will remain a theme also for next year? Second question is on your EBITDA guidance for this year. Should we see these 320-340 million euros new guidance as a new basis from which we should expect De'Longhi to restart its growth path starting from 2023?
Well, a consumer, it's not easy. It's not easy to really assess the consumer attitude that we will see in September. But what I can say is small domestic appliances is often a very resilient business in tough economical cycles. Our products are useful for the family, are good gifts for Christmas, are small investment which may be helping having little treats at home and saving major costs in the restaurants or around the world, which I expect to have some positive for us in the second half. But at the same time, we are still experiencing a post-COVID effect. I think that the weakness of the softening of the De'Longhi sales is more related to the fact that after a couple of years of lockdown, people are now enjoying their summer traveling, and therefore our sales have been a bit softer. But we see positives in long-term trends for us. Coffee is super strong despite the momentary weakness in certain months and in certain geographies. But all in all, we see a tremendous growth potential. We see opportunities for increased penetration, and China is a great example. We thanks also to advertising campaign, but also the appreciation of consumers for better coffee. The more they are exposed to better coffees, the more they want to have better coffee at home. And thanks also to advertising campaign, we are improving our mix. There is still a strong ongoing premiumization of the market. So this is on the positive. On the negative, food prep will be weak, and our numbers are really considering a continued weakness of this segment that, on the contrary, last year has been a phenomenal growth engine for the group. At the same time, we are working on new habits, and the acquisition of NutriBullet will allow the group also to move from the more traditional food preparation segment, where you make cakes or you make bread or you make very traditional food at home, into a food fast, healthy, which you can combine with also supplements. So you transform instead of having a heavy meal, you get a healthy, quick homemade meal, very, very easily and very easy to clean. So this is what we expect from the market. And as I said, I believe that our industry, our company, has been very resilient in the difficult economic cycle. In terms of guidance, it is a base. It is definitely the base. The longer we restart from 320 to 240, but we believe that we are suffering from extraordinary costs related to the supply chain disruptions. This will fade away. Will fade away progressively. We think that there are. I'm throwing a number, which is an early, analysis, but I think there are at least 50 million euro that we can take away, we can recover due to these inefficiencies and extraordinary logistic and warehousing costs. I said before, the question from Mr. Storer, we said that we have 25 million of extraordinary warehousing costs and 35 million of inventory. We think that once that inventory levels will be restored and our production will go back to normal, this eventually will disappear. Saying so, it could be that the real base, say if sales stay still, if margins are the same, instead of a 320, 240, it could be 370 and 390 million EBITDA adjusted or normalized. But obviously, this will be achievable with a time lag, hard work, and some short-term difficulties. But we think that this is in our potential. Of course, we think that at the same time, the A&P will stabilize. We don't foresee increase in absolute value of our advertising investment for the future. So we can progressively, if sales go up, to have a lower incidence of the A&P costs. And also our assumption is for this is true if there is still a cost inflation stabilized. If we see further inflation, that would be handled through price increases and mix improvements.
Many thanks. This was extremely helpful.
The next question comes from the line of Francesco Brilli from Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions from my side. The first one is on production levels. Can you share with us with the level of production of utilization of plants you have as of today? I mean, is still close to full utilization, 100%, or is slowing down? And if you can share with us the plan you have in mind to slow down the production going forward in the next quarters. And the second one is on investments. I see that you are accelerating investment, and they are concentrated on production plants. I just wanted to ask to what these investments are devoted for production plants, renovation or other actions. And the third one, if I may, is which level of Forex tailwinds are you including in your guidance, in your new guidance for this year?
Sorry, I missed the latter part of the last question. If you could repeat it, thank you.
Yes, the Forex tailwind that you are embedding in your new guidance for this year.
Yeah. Okay. So on production, well, I don't want to go too much in detail. It's very painful, but it's very painful because we have taken extreme actions to address quickly the inventory issues. We've taken extraordinary measures which are translating in these inefficiencies that you will see in the P&L. But we think that this was the right decision to take at this point of time, and we feel confident that our action will bring rather quickly. And inventory corrections takes time, and so you don't have to expect no results really in short term. We will have a first delivery of our plan by the year end, where we want to end the inventory level around 700 million euro, thanks to this extraordinary reduction in the production capacity. And then to go back to normal by the end of 2023, and we will try to control as much as possible the usual seasonal peak that we have in the month of July and August. So we'll try to reach lower inventory levels during 2023 to end up with a level of inventory more aligned to what were at the end of 2020 and in the previous years. The investment for CapEx for the year will be around 150 million euro, and this also including the new factory in Romania. The investments are towards, say, two different directions, if I can really summarize. I mean, there are many more because we have investment also in innovation, new products. But with regard to the industrial investments, we have built a new plant because we think we will need production capacity to support our long-term growth in fully automatic coffee machines and coffee makers in the future. The investment is such that will allow us to have a longer period to absorb the extra capacity that we bought in a country that we know very well, so will allow us to ramp up quicker in an environment that we feel comfortable with and competitive costs. The other important area of investment is automatization. We've done and we continue to take out costs from our products throughout investment, which are in, as said, in automated machine, reducing the impact of cost of labor, the incidence of cost of labor in our products, in particular in our Italian plant, but as well in the Romanian plant. Last but not least, you asked about Forex. For the year, we expect much lower purchases to year end, and if our new assessment on purchases and are correct, we don't expect any significant impact in the short term. Although we are covered on exchange rate with the dollar, for instance, for this year we are well positioned. In the future, for next year, we need to take in account what can be an impact of the worsening of the exchange rate between euro dollar. So, summarize, short term, little to no impact. For next year on the dollar, we have to make an assessment.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Luca Bacoccoli from Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, Luca.
Okay, great. So some follow-up questions from my side. The first one regards the advertising and promotion budget. You left unchanged the guidance of a 1% increase as a percentage of sales, but this means, I think, in absolute terms, a lower amount given the decreasing top line. Is that correct? And the second follow-up is on the NutriBullet. I'm just curious to understand if you already see a divergent trend between consumer attitude towards, let's say, traditional food appliances vis-à-vis, let's say, appliances supporting healthy behaviors. And the last question is on the CEO. So I was wondering if you have set any internal deadline for the appointment of the new CEO that you can share with us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Luca. So yes, on A&P, yes, I confirm probably more than 1% that I mentioned before. Momero would be above 1% our increase in A&P due to the, again, the continuation of our global campaign, which for the first time will be on a 12-month basis, because if you recall, last year we started investment in September, and this year we have started we have continued our advertising campaign in January and throughout the year. We think that there is still a strong momentum in coffee. I mean, despite I said that the weakness in certain geographies or in certain months, but all in all, we think that coffee will continue to be an incredible engine for our growth story in the future, as has been in the past 15 years. This with regard to AP, I don't know if I answered the question. If I move to NutriBullet, NutriBullet is less affected in terms of growth rate, a negative growth rate, than our traditional cooking. We think it's because it's a younger and proposition. And we think that for the moment we are focusing on certain geographies. Unfortunately, with COVID, our international rollout has been quite slow. And now we are starting really rolling out in Europe and in selected markets. So we think that we will probably start seeing the effect of this rollout in the second half, in a tougher environment, which maybe will make more difficult our launch, and at the same time less visible the results. But we think that the change in habits is opening also the door to other launches that we might have in the future both healthy cooking like grain cookers or also some ethnical cooking that are now growing quickly in North America or in the UK. Just to name a few, Ninja has been very successful with their grain cookers, or another player called Instapot with some rice cooker and healthy food preparation, which the new generation are very keen on buying. Again, this product require new development, so will not be they will deliver results in the short term, but this is products that we think are part of a strategy behind the NutriBullet acquisition. In terms of CEO, I cannot say much, but I can say something. I mean, we have decided today during our board of directors that taking advantage of my experience with the company to take advantage of this and I've been appointed the CEO again. Our intention is to have a new CEO outside of the family as soon as possible. We can work in finding the new talent, both internally or externally, taking the right time. This doesn't mean that we want to have a long period of transition, but as it's going to be a very important decision, and we don't want to go through another change. We want to make a good assessment, taking advantage of the fact that the company doesn't need a change in the strategy, but can work towards, continue to implement the strategic plan that was set out by Massimo Garavaglia, which is in continuity with what the company has done before. And therefore, we will try to be ready with a new CEO as soon as possible, using myself as an interim, giving continuity to the company, reinforcing the initiatives in the short term, and hopefully we will come up to a good decision as quickly as possible. Frankly, I don't expect to have probably an internal solution could be quicker. So if we will do an assessment, maybe in between 3 months and 6 months, I think we should be able to come to some solution. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your transparency.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Alessandro Cecchini from Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one, actually, it's you stated about the environment in terms of pricing. You stated tough environment in distribution. I would like to better understand in which geographies in particular, or if it's something widespread. So just to understand this point. Frankly, it's the reason why in the second quarter probably you had a price mix effect on EBITDA bridge only flat. My second question is about still E&P investments. I would like to better understand in the first half in your bridge how much were these kind of investments, and if you could, Aline, split between how much is advertising and how much is, I would say, promotion, but very, very, very rough. Thank you very much.
Okay, the first question was about where the environment is worse for sales and pricing. It's definitely Europe. The second question is about A&P. On a yearly basis,
the first half,
the increase has been about 34 million euro, and media was around 20 million. So for the year end. So this is the first 6 months. In the second half, we expect to have media investment, more or less in line with last year.
We have to consider that the first half of this year, the comparison is in a first half of 21 where we did not invest in the coffee campaign. As Fabio said, we have to recall that we start with Brad Pitt campaign in September 21.
Mm-hmm. No, clear. And actually, in terms of competition, everybody, we had the chance to have a call with SEB, that it's your competitor, a few days ago. In this environment, competition, it's changing a little bit, or are still the same competitors in your view, obstacles or your main competitors, just to better understand your competitive environment in this market versus last year, I would say.
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, we expect competition in coffee from Jura in the high end, Philips Echo more, say, the entry, low end. We don't see any major Sage, Breville for the traditional coffee machines, and then of course KitchenAid in food preparation or Moulinex in certain other products. So more or less it is the same as usual. And from what we are hearing, everyone is taking initiatives to protect their margins, and therefore we think that more or less all industry is trying to pass on the same price increase to the market.
Okay, thank you to everybody.
Once again, for questions, star and one. We now have a follow-up question from Niccolò Storer from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Actually, two very quick follow-up. Did I understand well if I say that... can you hear me?
Yeah, there is some
noise. Background noise.
Let me... One sec. Okay.
Much better.
Perfect.
So I was wondering, did I understand well? You said you aim at bringing inventories at $700 million at year end. Is this right?
Yes.
So below previous year's level, if I'm not wrong, we are in the 770 million region.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And the second clarification is on your revenues guidance. Is the minus mid-single digit at constant or current forex?
Reported.
Okay. And is it fair to assume that you might have some 3% FX boost?
It's possible. It's like.
Okay. Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So as there are no more questions, I thank you all for attending the De'Longhi Quarter 2 2022 Results Conference Call.